This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اليوم الرابع من شهر شعبان 1440 الموافق ل 27 February 2023. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في الدين. So today we continue from where we stopped. I guess the last time we stopped at the hadith of Abdullah ibn Sa'di. Abdullah ibn Sa'di قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تنقطع الهجرة لا تنقطع الهجرة ما قوتل العدو. So this hadith will be discussing the issue of the hijrah ila bilad al-muslimin, moving from the land of the non-believers to the land of the muslimin. So it's not just part of the aqidah of hijrah, is a continuous act of war until we never stop. Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, لا تنقطع الهجرة ما قوتل العدو. Hijrah will stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these battles, as human being lives on earth, you have this enmity and hatred, you know, from the أعداءullah azza wa jalla to the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ said hijrah is an act of worship that exist and remains until the day of judgment. And the meaning of the hijrah is to stay away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. وَالْهِجْرَةُ أَوَّ الْمُهَاجِرُ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَنْهَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. The real meaning of the hijrah is to stay away from whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made prohibited. But usually when the hijrah is mentioned, what comes to the mind of a Muslim is moving from a land of the non-Muslim to the non-Muslims, to the land of what comes to the mind. But the real hijrah, which is more comprehensive, is to interpret hijrah as moving from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. In which the technical meaning of the hijrah also is included in this general definition. When you stay away from the land of the non-Muslims and you move to the land of the Muslims, you are staying away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And you have other meanings also to be included here. When you stay away from haram and you migrate to halal, you're making hijrah. Although this is not what is, you know, appearing to the mind of the audience when hijrah is being mentioned. But when you stay away from haram to the halal, you are making the hijrah. And this is the real hijrah, as the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تنقطع الهجرة ما قوتل العدو. As long as Muslims are still fighting the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the day of judgment. So it is wajib upon every Muslim who is not to leave land to the land of the Muslims where he can practice the religion properly. It's as simple as this, although most of us don't understand this, you know. We claim that we are pressured and they don't let us do this and that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهِ. That the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so big and so vast. If you are not able to practice your religion in this place, why don't you move to another place? You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a lot. But unfortunately, out of the looking for the dunya, we are not able to, you know, subhanAllah, subdue this strong desire that we have in the heart, which is always inclining towards the dunya. As long as our dunya could be preserved, we don't care about the religion. This is very wrong, very wrong. And a person is going to pay the price for this. The priority should be given to the religion. If a person lives in a place where he cannot practice the religion properly, he must leave that place to another place where he can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. So as I said, hijrah is obligatory upon everyone who is living in the land of the non-Muslims and he is not able to practice his religion properly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا بَرِيءٌ مِّن مُسْلِمٍ يُقِيمُ بَيْنَ ظَهْرَانِ الْكُفَّارِ. I have disconnected myself from any Muslim that is living in the midst of the non-believers. And you practice it with deficiency, then you have to leave that place to another place. We are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the purpose of worship, not for the purpose of enjoyment, not for the purpose of the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for the purpose of worship. He says, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have never created jinns or human beings except for the purpose of worship. So the real reason why we are created is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And therefore, whatever contradicts this main objective of our creation is to be kept aside. Yeah, this should be a very serious matter with every Muslim. Anything that contradicts your religion, that thing has to be kept aside. Yeah, Muslims shouldn't have any compromise, you know, of any part of the religion. Any part of the religion, no compromise. Yeah, as long as your dunya doesn't contradict your religion, then you go ahead with your dunya. But the moment the dunya starts to contradict your religion, as a Muslim, you have to stay away from any dunya that is contradicting your religion and move to whatever doesn't contradict your religion. قال والنافع قال أغار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على بني المصطلق وهم غارون فقتل مقاتلتهم وسبى ذراريهم حدثني بذلك عبد الله بن عمر متفق عليه وفيه وأصاب يومئذ جويرية. In this hadith of نافع مولى بن عمر, the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam raided, you know, the tribe of Banu al-Mustalik. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam attacked them. Yeah, these are one of the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslims. So there was an intentional fight between them and the Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went before them. So he attacked them. وَهُمْ غَارُونَ غَارُونَ أَيْ غَافِلُونَ. They were negligent. And they never thought he will be coming at this moment. They know he might be coming, but when? They never thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be coming at that moment. قَالَ وَهُمْ غَارُونَ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attacked them at a time they never expect to see him at that moment. فَقَتَلَ مُقَاتِلَتَهُمْ وَسَبَى ذَرَارِيَهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam killed whoever can fight among those fighters among them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got them. وَسَبَى ذَرَارِيَهُمْ. And the family and the people who left, sisters and the kids, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enslaved all of them. قَالَ نَافِعَ حَدَّثَنِي بِذَلِكَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بِنْ عُمَرِ. He said, his Sayyid Abdullah ibn Umar told him this. وَفِيهِ وَمَئِذٍ جُوَيْرِيَ. And in this narration, it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day, he got his wife Juwayriyah. في هذا الحديث مسألتان. This hadith contains two lessons that we need to discuss. Number one, قال الحديث دليل على جواز المقاتلة قبل الدعاء إلى الإسلام في حق الكفار الذين قد بلغتهم الدعوة من غير إنذار. وهذا أصح الأقوال الثلاثة في المسألة. So in this hadith, we learn that it is possible in some circumstances for the Muslims to fight after, but this is conditional, to fight the enemy without asking them to convert to Islam first, without giving them da'wah first. You know, the normal and the usual process is that when you go to fight an enemy, you have to invite them to Islam first. And it is going to be mentioned in the next hadith, inshallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا لَقِيتَ عَدُوَكَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ فَدُعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ ثَلَاثِ خِصَالٍ. He said, whenever you met your enemy from amongst the mushrikeen, ask them and invite them to one of the three options. So we will talk about this, inshallah, in the next hadith. But this one shows that there is a circumstance where the Muslims don't need to do that invitation first. You can just attack. So as I said, this is circumstance. Yeah, the normal process is that you can't fight before you invite them to Islam. But if circumstance necessitates that, then you can just go and do it. At that moment, the Prophet ﷺ sees it, that there is no any other way. You know, the best way for us to handle this matter is to get them without them knowing that we are here. That's why he said, أَغَارَ رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى بَنِي الْمُصْطَلِبِ وَهُمْ غَارُونَ. They were negligent. If you're to stop and to invite them, to tell them that we're here, then the whole purpose is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best option at that time is to just attack. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do the attacking. And this is the best opinion amongst the three opinions of the scholars. Amongst the three opinions of the scholars, this is the best opinion, which says you can fight in some circumstances without inviting them to Islam. But as I said, the general process is that no fighting should take place before the invitation to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this one also is conditional. The condition is there has to be da'wah been given to them before. You cannot just fight, no matter how much, you know, bad is the situation, you have to invite them first. Get ready, be ready to attack and to defend yourself at any time, but invite them first. But the one that already received the da'wah, and you know that their plot is so great in the way, you need to get them before they realize that you are there. You already gave them the da'wah, you already know who you are, you already sent them the message to convert to Islam, and they do not want to accept it, then in this case you can fight those ones. قال وهي عدم وجوب الإنذار مطلقا. قال وهذا أصح الأقوال في المسألة وهي عدم وجوب الإنذار مطلقا. So you cannot, it's not wajib, you know, for us to warn them first. Is it wajib for the leader, for the imam, the president, the prime minister to warn the other enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're coming, or you don't need to warn them? So according to the best opinion, you don't need to warn them, because al-harbu khuda. Ali bin Abi Talib said, if I tell you something from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you should know that 100% is correct, because I don't lie. Yeah, when I talk to you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should know that this is very serious matter and it's true. I'm just narrating what I heard and I know 100%. But if I discuss matters between me and you, he said, you should know al-harbu khuda. He says, battle and war is based on deception. Yeah. When you sense that somebody is going to cheat you, don't just fold your arms and wait for him to cheat you. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did that. لَا يُلْدَقُ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ جُحْرٍ مَرَّةٍ. The Muslim is not useless. And that's why when you see some of the documentaries, you see the way they are, you know, you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blinding the brain, the mind of those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can't understand things, but a Muslim is not like that. He's smart. With Iman, with Islam. If you maintain that correctly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep that smartness for you. So we show mercy, and we're the most merciful, you know, people among the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards others. That's why the system of fighting with us is totally different from theirs, you know. It's 100% different, you know. We only fight when it is necessary. And we have this system in us which says, لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو. don't you ever wish to meet your enemy. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala peace. Rasulullah al-Afiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but when the battle is imminent, then you should let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see that yes, you are the person that cannot compromise any part of the religion, cannot submit to a defeat. You should be patient. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and meet your enemy, tawakkal Allah azza wa jalla. So we have this. We are not a troublemaker at all. Most of the fights in Islam, they are based on defense. Most of them, if you go through the history, you see most of them, they are based on defense. And the whole purpose of jihad in Islam is all about removing the evil, you know, that is causing people to suffer on earth and bringing justice to everyone, including those people who hate us. That's why history has confirmed that whenever Islam prevails, the non-Muslims also, they enjoy. Yeah, go check the history and see properly. You know, they used to run away from their own territories, coming to the Muslim places, because they know they will have a complete aman to do business. And all they have to do is to pay the jizya, that simple amount of tax which is taken from them on the yearly basis. On the yearly basis. So it's a very little percentage of, it's not even based on what they're doing, you know. They don't care about exactly what they're doing. Just they live in the Muslim land. They need to pay this jizya. And after paying this jizya, they enjoy protection. So they like to come because all the business is there in the Muslim land because everyone is coming. You know, no taxes, you know, except that little one. No injustice is committed against them. Muslim is not allowed to oppress them at all. You can't cheat them. You can't deceive them. They're part of the community. Yeah. Which they know they don't have it in their own place. That's Islam. No. That's why I said the whole purpose of jihad in Islam is to remove evil and to bring justice, to remove injustice and to bring justice, to detach people from the slavery of idol worshipping and worshipping personalities to the worship of the one who deserves to be worshipped, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is only there when it is imminent and necessary. And look at the consequences when the war happens. Who is affected? Islamically, who is affected? You see in this hadith, it is mentioned, قَتَلَ مُقَاتِلَتَهُ, the fighters. That means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is fighting the soldiers, those people who are fighting. That's why if you look at the long hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to the qada when he sent them to fight, he said, do not touch women. Do not kill sisters. Because usually they don't go to fight. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found a woman being killed, one of the kuffar, she lost her life there. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw her dead, he got very angry. He did not know who did that, and he doesn't care who did that and what was the cause, but he said, who killed this woman? He said, ma kanat hadhihi litaqatil. This woman is not here to fight anyone. Why did you kill her? Although she came to support her own people, she motivating them, I know. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not kill sisters when you meet them in that place. Do they have this concept in their religion, the non-Muslims? They don't. Up to this date when they fight in every place, the most person who is suffering is the sisters and the kids and the vulnerable people, old people and people who cannot do anything. You rarely hear the combatants who are fighting being killed. Whether they're doing it correctly or they don't do it correctly, but the one who is affected more is those ones. Check Islam and see, we're not like that. No children are supposed to be killed. No old people are supposed to be killed. No monk are supposed to be killed. No sisters are supposed to be killed. These are the wasiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the qada after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we just want us to understand, you know, what is our religion? People become so apologetic when they talk about jihad. And the concept is distorted, and there is nothing in it, because in this life of ours, tell me which country, you know, even if that country exists, how many countries you have without army in that country? I mean, completely no army, I doubt. Even if they mention that they don't have police, they don't have army, they don't have whatever, wallahi, I doubt. Because human nature is inclining towards injustice. You can't tell me everyone who's living in that country is peaceful. Every country has defense system. where when Islam defends itself, everyone talk, you know. And subhanAllah, if you're looking for harshness against humankind, look at the history. Who killed more human beings than the other one? And if you combine all the people who died in all the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, maybe they don't even go up to 0.something% of what these guys are killing up to date, you know. And then they will come and tell you, Muslims is this, Muslims is that. The same title is supposed to be given to them, but they level the Muslims with it. So this is Islam. We don't do mutilation. You know, go and check and see what exactly is going on. From then, from the past, you know, when somebody is captured, he's going to pay the price. When they kill, subhanAllah, they distort, you know. You know, one of the companions of the Prophet, Anas ibn Nadr, you know, subhanAllah, nobody was able to recognize him because of the mutilation. They really cut him into it in a very bad way, you know. His sister was the only one who looked at his feet and she said, this is my brother. Otherwise, nobody was able to recognize him. In Islam, the Prophet said, we don't do mutilation at all. We don't. And when a person is captured, you know, subhanAllah, I don't think the world has ever seen mercy upon the captives, you know, before the arrival of Islam. I don't think so. To my knowledge, the only system that called war prisoner after they have been, you know, introduced to our place, you know, first we give them food, we treat them well, you know, and the Prophet ﷺ called them your brothers. Subhanallah. Call them your brothers, you know. And he said, don't harm them. Let them wear the same thing you wear. Let them eat from the same food you are eating. Those who accepted Islam from them, this is a recommendation, you know. We treat them in a nice way and we show them the religion. Those who agree, you know, subhanAllah, even those ones also, we're not allowed to force them to accept Islam. If they accept it by themselves willingly, every Muslim is recommended to freedom. They shouldn't stay in that way, you know. There are things in Islam which you do. If you do them, you cannot go out of that problem unless if you free a slave. Go to the past and see what a slave means. It's worse than the shoelace. Your shoe is better than the slave. They have no value whatsoever. Islam came and canceled this. That's why the Arabs in the past, they fought Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much because he says slaves are not supposed to be treated in this way. Sisters are equal to the slaves also in those days because they treat them as properties. Properties. And if they let them live, some they just kill. Because it's just like a curse to have a woman in your house. So I just want to, this is just little. If somebody's going to write on this, wallahi, you could produce mujalladat, volumes about the virtues of Islam and what Islam brings to human beings. So I just want us to understand the kadhib, you know, and the blind mentality of those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you talk about Islam. And I want us also to understand why are we hated by them. Because they enjoy that darkness and that evil system. And Islam says, no. All of us are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are responsible to Him alone. We're not slave of anyone. But those ones will not accept this. No riba, no injustice, no zulm, no anything. And those guys live on this. They live on the blood of us. And Islam has no tolerance to this. I just want us to understand why are we hated by them. Otherwise, tell me, up to date, in most of the places, if not all of them, from this thing which they created by themselves, the Muslims. Anything that was done bad, the suspect is a Muslim. And if you go deeper and deeper, you find that Muslims are not involved in it. Or if you see somebody who looks like them who is involved, there is somebody who is behind him. But the problem is us, not them. Because they are doing what their kufr dictate to them. But the problem is us, the Muslims, who support them, who became blind and worse, and do worse than what they are doing. قال ويرد عليه حديث بريدة الآتي ويرد عليه حديث بريدة الآتي في الثاني وجوبه مطلقا ويرد عليه هذا الحديث الثاني وجوبه مطلقا ويرد عليه هذا الحديث الثالث هذا الحديث الثالث يجب إن لم تبلغهم الدعوة ولا يجب إن بلغتهم ولكن يستحب. So these are the three opinions. You know, the first one says وجوب لا يجب الإنذار مطلقا. It is not wajib upon you to do the إنذار. Not only إنذار, not wajib upon you to invite them to the Islam first before you start fighting them. And which is against the next hadith that we're going to be talking about. The second opinion says وجوبه مطلقا. No, it is wajib upon you to invite them to Islam first before you fight them, which is rejected by this hadith because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam قال عليهم وهم غارون. الثالث أنه يجب إن لم تبلغهم الدعوة ولا يجب إن بلغتهم ولكن يستحب. The third opinion says it is wajib إن لم تبلغهم الدعوة. If they never know about Islam, then it's wajib upon you to invite them to Islam first. Nobody told them about Islam, so you're fighting them on what? وَلَا يَجِبُ إِنْ بَلَغَتْهُمْ وَلَكِنْ يُسْتَحَبْ. But if they already received the da'wah, then it is not wajib to invite them because they already know. بَلْ وَيُسْتَحَبْ. It is just mustahab. قال ابن المنذر وهو قول أكثر أهل العلم وعلى معناه تضافرت الأحاديث الصحيحة وهذا أحدها. ابن المنذر says this is the statement and the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars. Vast majority of the scholars are upon this third opinion that if the da'wah did not reach them, then it is wajib upon you to invite them to Islam first before you start fighting. But if the da'wah already reached them, then it is mustahab. It is not wajib, but it is mustahab. It is mustahab to remind them. Yeah, because before they did not take it, but now if they are reminded, they might see it as an option to stay away from fighting. Because Islam doesn't want to fight. Yeah, Islam is forced to fight. Because that's the way to stop the evil from creeping into the communities on earth. Allah says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ. So that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, you know, is make somebody stronger than the other one. So he wants to fight that one, but he remembers there is somebody else there. If he touch this one, that one is going to come. So he stopped because of the fear he has that somebody is going to take action against him. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed the system so that the balance will be maintained, you know. Up to date, you know. Why didn't they engage again in this war? Yani, except with us, they just kill because we are not united ourselves. We are separated. Everyone is acting separately. And subhanAllah, they are there in the middle of us, you know. They don't want to see us being united. They don't want to see us being united. That's why we lose it. And for them, you know, in that purpose, they are really united. You know, they are enemies of each other, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. Allah says, you think they are all together? When you see them, you believe that, oh, they are very united, you know. وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. And their heart of subhanAllah is separated from each other. But when it comes to fighting Islam, they are all united. The Jew, the Christian, the Bolian, whoever, you know, all of them are together. All of them are together. When it comes to fighting us, you know, they unite themselves. For the Muslims, no. You have enemy fighting the Muslims, everyone is separated, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا تَفَعْلُهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. The non-believers, they are, you know, allies of each other. You know, they construct this alliance, you know, they unite themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to succeed in life, that unity has to exist also amongst you. That's why they take this principle, فَرِّقْ تَصُدْ. Divide and conquer. Did they succeed in that? Yes, look at the Muslim nations, the way out. And everyone is standing, you know, by himself, you know, we're not willing to cooperate to attain a success. And that unity, when it happens, you know, you don't fight anyone and you don't need to fight. Just seeing you united is not easy for somebody to attack you. Yeah. That's why they struggle so much to make sure that we are separated. You don't want that. So Allah says, we have to unite ourselves first. In Surah Al-Anfal, before this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا. It says, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُم مِّن قُوَّةٍ وَمِن رِّبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَّ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ وَآخَرِينَ مِن دُونِهِمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَهُمُ اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا. Don't disunite yourself. Don't separate yourself. Don't engage in nizah, conflict, and fighting amongst yourself. Cooperate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you do that, فَتَفْشَلُوا, you're going to be defeated. وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ, your strength will be taken away from you. وَاصْبِرُوا, be patient. SubhanAllah, this is a very, very, very excellent lesson, you know, an advice given to us by who always is giving us good advice. Excellent advice. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, he says, prepare for the enemies. Mastata'tum, whatever you can. So the preparation, no matter how much big it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تنازعوا فتفشلوا. Don't engage in conflicts, you know, and fighting and debate amongst you, because you're going to lose your focus and the strength will be taken against you. So unity is needed, you know. We should start it at the low level. Forget about the government with the politics and all of these things at the low level. Muslims inside the community, we are not united. Yeah, we should start at the low level first. Identify who we are. Identify who we are. Unite ourselves. And the only way for the unity is one thing. What is that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, everyone is calling upon his sheikh, you know. Allah says, Kullu hizbin bima ladayhim farihun. Every group are just busy, happy with that which they have, rejecting the other one. Yeah, this is who we are. Everyone is just restricting himself to what they have. They're not willing to listen to other one. Taib, is there any middle ground that we can come all together? Yes, there is. And that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because everyone trusts him. Yeah, because if a person doesn't do it, then his Islam is shaky, or there is no even Islam. If a person doesn't trust Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's not a Muslim anymore. So every Muslim, as long as this title is there on him, he trusts Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taib, let us come all together and unite ourselves around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You Allah, that's the best unity. That's the best unity around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will see everyone coming. But if we're going to continue in the way we are nowadays, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, we might stay until the day of judgment disunited. And the enemy is happy with this. So forget about this khuzabalat, that's khuzabalat. Come to the sunnah, come to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is to come and hold upon this. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, we'll be united. And this is what the enemy doesn't want. And as I told you, my dear brothers and sisters, it will not be easy for any enemy to attack us after that. Yeah, because once we are united, the governments in every Muslim countries are united, you know. That strong brotherhood exists among us, you know, which was constructed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this case, enemies will not think of attacking us. Qala, wa hadithu Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf. وَقَتْلُ إِبْنَ أَبِي الْحَقِيقِ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ. So Ibn al-Munzir says, this is the best opinion. The one that says, if da'wah is not given, then you have to give the da'wah. But if da'wah is given, then it is mustahab to give the da'wah. He said, this is what is supported by many hadith which are authentic. One of them is this hadith that we're talking about. And also the hadith of Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf. Remember the story of Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the wicked, you know, among the Jew. And also Abdullah ibn Abi al-Haqiq, also a Jewish, you know, leader, you know, among those who rejected Rasulullah. Actually, almost all of them rejected him except one. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Law amana bi 'ashratin min al-yahud." If I can get 10 Yahud to accept me, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be no Yahud on earth who is going to reject me. If those 10 can accept, and the scholar said, these are the leaders of the Jew. Because the Jew are very obedient to their leaders. Very, very obedient. They know he's batil. They just follow. He knows that this person is on batil, but he just followed. So one of them is Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf. One of them is Ibn Abi al-Haqiq. All of them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have commanded somebody to go and get them. And those one, they already know the da'wah. They already know who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Allah says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُ. They know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just like the way they know their children. One of them said, actually, I know him better than the way I know my children. They told him how. He said, because I know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before I even know who is my wife. So يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُ. قَالَ وَحَدِيثُ كَعْبٍ بْنِ الْأَشْرَفِ وَقَتْلُ أَبِي ابْنِ أَبِي الْحَقِيقِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ وَالدَّعَى فِي الْبَحْرِ الْإِجْمَاعَ عَلَى وُجُوبِ دَعْوَةِ مَنْ لَمْ تَبْلُغْهُمْ دَعْوَةً. And in one of the books, Al-Shawkani, I guess he claimed that there is ijma, that it is wajib upon the Muslims before they fight to invite people to Islam first. So I guess this is the best place to stop. Let's move to questions, inshallah. And in the next class, we will talk about the second issue, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. After? Yeah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La hijrata ba'da al-fathi, walakin... Assalamu alaikum. Salam. Please cool down. Okay. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La hijrata ba'da al-fathi, walakin jihadun wa niyya. This is restricted to hijrah from Makkah to Medina. Because people used to leave Makkah to Medina because Makkah is a kuffar land and Medina is the Islamic state. Uh-huh. So, but now Makkah also become part of the Muslim community. So the Prophet ﷺ stopped it. But the mutlaq al-hijrah, this hadith governs it when he says hijrah is continuous until the day of judgment. Yeah. Any place that a person cannot practice his religion, he has to move to another place.
In government hospitals, things like MRIs have a long waiting time. Sometimes you only get an appointment only after 6 to 10 months. If you have a friend who's a doctor at the government hospital, can you skip the waiting line and get an appointment immediately? Is this permissible?
No, it is not. Unless if a person is in a state of necessity, he has to do it as soon as possible, then he can skip. Otherwise, it is haram and unfair for others who have been waiting. Yeah. That's it?
So far, maybe I'll give a minute.
Yeah, let's just pray.
Yeah, in the battle of Banu Mustalif, I mean, there was also one narration from Ibn al-Safari where they actually mentioned that they were preparing to fight Muslims before we attacked them.
Yeah, that's true. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not just go like that. No, they have the preparation and the tendency, that's why I said in the first, there was a tendency from them to fight the Muslims. They were doing it. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to them. So if you look at all the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including those ones that somebody might think that he just fought them, but it's not like that. Okay, so we stop the class, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته